Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Wednesday, August 7th, 2019. Thank you for joining me today. I have a special episode for you all today, dedicated to my best friend, my brother, actually, who I found out today chose to take his own life. And I also found out today, as this is incredibly uncharacteristic, something that I know he would never do, as well as something that everyone in his family agrees to, I also found out today that really upset me that about a few months ago, he also started taking antidepressants. And it's something that really, really struck home for me today. And it's something I feel like can really relate to everybody out there who have family members, individuals who are being told that this is the safe thing for them. This is the right move for them. Despite all of the information that we have, despite everything that shows us that it does the exact opposite of what they tell you it will do. Now, we're going to relate. Today's show is going to be focused specifically on this idea, but it's also going to tie in all of the things about the mass shootings and all the discussion and where they want you to be looking while we have undeniable information that shows us what's really going on today that they just don't want you looking at. Now, Trump's recent speech I discussed focused on the internet, social media, video games. I focused mostly on war and war propaganda and how those were ignored and how those very, very clearly play a role in all of this stuff. And that's why, of course, they don't want you to know about it or talk about it. I also touched on how that affects our minds as growing individuals. But one of the most obvious correlations that is almost always ignored, which should always show us something, is pharmaceutical drug use. Now, of course, as that we're seeing today, and before this as well, as everyone's noting, whatever the reason, the Trump administration is using these shootings to shore up control over the internet and the flow of information, while simultaneously demonizing and attacking anti-establishment and anti-war voices as conspiracy theorists, you know, and other dangerous ideas. It's clearly a win-win for them. Of course, all while ignoring the most obvious potential causes for where we are right now as a society. We must see that essentially all the same factors that Trump is blaming are present in most Western nations today. But yet they somehow only affect Americans in the United States to drive them to commit mass shootings? Obviously not. If social media and the internet were causing this, it would cause it everywhere else too, but it's not. At least not to the same degree that we're seeing it, shockingly more than basically anywhere else. All the same factors are present, the same social media, the same internet usage, the same 8chan boards, all the same things, the same dangerously gruesome video games, all the same movies, they're all over the world. But yet somehow this is isolated to the United States. What we're seeing, however, is an obvious tie between the rise in prescription drug use and the rise in shootings being completely ignored. This correlation is overwhelmingly obvious and has been pointed out for a decade, but no one wants to talk about it. Now, before I get into the pharmaceutical drug use in general and how this all connects and it all applies and the clear connection to mass shootings, as well as the shocking amount of drugs being taken by Americans today, in honor of my brother, let's look at specifically antidepressants and other psychiatric drugs and how the most clear-cut, obvious correlations are always ignored if Big Pharma's involved, showing you just how little your politicians actually care about your well-being when their campaigns are funded by drug companies. Now, in the case of antidepressants in particular, the most alarming correlation being ignored is with the alarming, unprecedented rise in suicide in this country that no one wants to talk about, as well as mass shootings in regard to the drug connection. Now, with the vast majority of Americans on some prescription drug of some kind, right now, a quarter of all Americans are on antidepressants, meaning that 25% of Americans are also deemed to be mentally ill, as depression, by and large, is listed right now as a mental illness. Now, consider that with Donald Trump's recent statements around mental health and your Second Amendment right. And as he today just kind of blithely conflated the idea of just simply rage and hate with the idea of mental illness. But are these people actually depressed who are being given antidepressants or just being told that? And do these drugs even help? Or do they only make it worse? And if so, is that intentional? These are questions that honest politicians, honest people would be asking with the data that is in front of us right now. But they're not. Now, some may have recoiled at the idea that it may be intentional. Well, many may not even be aware that this drug, the category of drug, antidepressants, and almost every, and as far as I can tell, every single drug within that category that is widely prescribed to treat depression also just so happens to have a leading side effect of suicide. And that fact seems to be aggressively ignored and suppressed, despite seeming to be pretty widely known by individuals. I mean, this in and of itself should be the end of the discussion. This should be the absolute end of anything that's supposed to be fighting depression. How can this be the case? And then ask yourself, knowing that it is the case, backed up by numerous studies and research, that you don't know about it. And in fact, that maybe your child was just prescribed a drug that increases the risk of suicide while they're depressed. Or at least at the very possibility has the chance of doing so. And that's enough. Now here are the suicide rates in the United States. Quite obviously, something began in the late 90s, early 2000s that clearly, I would say, exacerbated what was already a clear issue in this country, even back then. In the United States, on average, there are 129 suicides per day. Now, really compare that with everything else they want you to be afraid of and recognize. Recognize just how obviously this is not, they're choosing not to bring this to your attention. And while they're continuing to shove things in front of you that are dramatically less serious, statistically speaking. Now, here are the most up-to-date stats that I could find, at least from 2017. There may be more you could find from other locations, maybe 2018. It's rare that you can find them the very year of, as they're still being tallied. But look at this. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S., and that's for everyone. In 2017, and it's worse than this as we're going into these next couple years, 47,173 Americans chose to take their own life. In 2017, there were an estimated 1,400,000 attempted suicides. So you could very clearly recognize the fact that this could be the biggest issue in the world today if these people were more better versed on how to actually take their lives. Or maybe some of them didn't really want to. But if we had 1.5 million people killing themselves a year, there's no way that could be ignored. Even though this right now, 47,000, is unbelievably high. It says in 2015, suicide and self-injury cost the U.S. $69 billion. Maybe that has something to do with it. Understand when they say cost the U.S., that means you. When in fact, if you flip that, understand that they made $69 billion in regard to the industry around it, whether that's intentional or not. Medical bill, whatever else. Now, back in 2016, suicide surpassed homicide to become the second leading cause of death among teens. So while it's the 10th leading cause amongst Americans in general, it is right now the second leading cause of death for teens. How is that not a big talking point? As they pretend to care about your children while they talk about mass shootings. Well, guess what? More children take their own lives by and large, by far, than any kind of court. You could go back years and you wouldn't surpass the number of people that are taking their own lives in the same category. So wouldn't that make sense that if they're talking about deaths of youth, that this would be a focal point? Why are they choosing to focus on one and not the other? Maybe because it's political, and maybe because one of them can be used and the other one discloses a very, very embarrassing secret. Not only that they're pushing these drugs on everybody without really understanding the side effects, but also that they just don't care. And that's quite embarrassing for people that are in charge of this country. Now, a study among many other studies, and there are many, from the National Center for Biotechnology Information entitled Trends in Prescription Drug Use Among Adults in the United States from 1999 to 2012 shows just how easy it is to see what is the most ignored correlation in this discussion. And that is that there is an undeniable link. It is undeniable. Now, to be clear, as I've always said, correlation is not causation. But no one is choosing to even discuss this most obvious correlation, which shows you something. There's an undeniable link between the documented rise in prescription pill use in our society and the rise in suicide and the rise in mass shootings. Both correlate almost perfectly with these dates. Columbine was in 1999. Now, there were shootings before that, but we can all see the rise from that point forward, with shootings and suicide. Now, what you're looking at, it reads, and this is just this, all this is in the show notes. The study reads, the main part, results indicate an increase in overall use of prescription drugs among U.S. adults. Guess what? Between 1999 and 2012. You don't say. Seems almost exactly to correlate with the rise of drug use and the rise of suicide and shootings. Now, wouldn't you say that anyone honest would have to recognize this obvious correlation, that suicide rates are up 33% since 1999? That's according to CNN, which means it's probably higher than that. Now, who would ignore this and why? I think that's very easy to tell. Here's this graph again, just to make this clear. Look at where this shoots up from an already alarmingly high number at that, right exactly. Between 1999, 98, and 2001, you see an immediate jump, and it has not gone down since then. And right along that same time period, someone else also pointed out the correlation of the Smith-Mott Modernization Act being passed in the same general time frame here as in the correlation with what many people would call psychological operations. But that's just a side note for people out there that are recognizing these correlations and things that they don't want you looking at. But let's stay focused just on the suicide, mass shootings, and drugs, because this cannot be ignored, but it is being ignored. Obvious correlation. Now, to make this all the more clear, this is what Canada is calling a mental health crisis. While the U.S. government has failed to even really address the suicide issue in any meaningful way. 5,800 suicides. As it is the second leading cause of death for teens in the U.S. right now. But it gets worse. As you go through and look at what it actually says in the article. More than 5,800 Canadian children and youth have died by suicide during the past 13 years across Canada. Now, while it is, the second leading cause of death in the U.S. for teens. And they say 5,800 over the last 13 years. For Canada, this is an average of 446 deaths a year due to suicide for teens in Canada. While in general, Canada saw over 4,000 suicides in 2017, in general. Now, while 4,000 is clearly still a lot, it's dramatically lower than almost 50,000 in that same year, like the United States. And recognize the distance to where we are in relation to Canada and the crossover of all things Trump is blaming all of this on. Video games and social media. It's all very clearly present in Canada, too. But see, you just step over that line and all of a sudden, you see a decrease in suicide by like 90%. But more importantly, look at the difference between the youth and the adults between the U.S. and Canada. Canada, 4,000 generally in 2017, average of 446 teen deaths in that period. For the United States, 47,000 plus in that same year, but between 5 and 10,000 instead. Now, the numbers generally, the 5,000-something number was 2014 in this country. Over 5,000-plus teens, youth, took their lives in 2014. And then you know from 2014 to 16, it became the second leading cause of death. Now, I couldn't actually, shockingly, right? I couldn't actually find, and I'm sure they're out there, data for that exact thing in the following years. So I'm estimating easily between 5 and 10 that it went to the second leading cause of death for teens. And in 2014, it was over 5,000. But recognize that. 5,000 to 50,000 versus 446 to 4,000. Just look at the difference between children to adults. I mean, so this shows us that there is a dramatically high ratio of teen suicide to adult suicide in the United States. So however you look at this, there's something wrong here in the United States. And today, this is what we're looking at. And I mean, this is not even exactly up to date either. Nearly 60% of Americans, the highest ever, are taking prescription drugs. Now recognize that along this rise in suicide, the rise in mass shootings, the rise in all kinds of other things that I could have included that perfectly correlate with this same rise, they're also watching the rise in how many people are taking these pills. And they see these things. And yet, after all of these years, 20 years go by, and we're still pushing to do nothing about it. They claim they want to stop it. But of course, they're only talking about opioids. Nobody wants to address all the other things. No one cares that people are being abused, given drugs that increase the risk of death. Well, it's okay, as Trump would say, you make a profit, right? Who cares about the life? We'll keep selling weapons to Saudis because who cares that they're murdering Yemeni people with our help? As long as we make a profit. 60% of Americans. And 2017, as I said, there were 47,000 suicides in the United States. Well, guess how many Americans have died of terror attacks in that same time frame, seeing as how that is easily represented in the media and by the government as one of the leading dangers for Americans today. It must be a lot more than this, right? It has to be, since they won't stop talking about it. From 1995 to 2016, more than 3,600 Americans had been killed in terrorist attacks worldwide. So from 1995 all the way to 2016, less people than even committed suicide in Canada, worldwide. Now, clearly there have been more killings since then, but nowhere near what we see in the U.S. idea of suicide. Decades, and we get, it's unbelievable the difference between the numbers, and yet they're constantly getting you to fear one while never even mentioning the other. In the United States in 2017 as well, there were 15,671 deaths from gun violence. And that's in its entirety. Yeah, including mass shootings. In 2018, it was 14,771. Again, this is all gun violence, not just mass shooting at schools. 14,771. So far in 2019, it's at 8,901. And this is due to gun violence as well. Now, obviously, this is too many. But it's important to have some perspective here and recognize how these shootings are politicized, used to achieve a political goal. And as I've seen anyone that even dared to point out the fact that they're talking about a statistic as if it's the biggest danger we should be fearing, passing laws on the backs of it, taking away rights on the backs of it, And anyone that dares to point out that it's not our biggest concern statistically is shouted down as you're a terrible person. Don't you care about the children? And that's how it happens. Of course we care about the children. Of course we care about people who are dying. I argue you don't. We care. We care about the people in Yemen too. The point is they want you to focus where they want you to focus so they can use it. If they actually cared about people dying and not just using it politically, then this would be the biggest topic of the year. Not even 15,000 people die from all shootings in all of 2018, but we have almost 50,000 people kill themselves. They don't even bat an eye. Guess why? Guess who's also funding your media organizations and your politicians? One of the largest funders and lobbyists for all of these people are Big Pharma. You ever wonder why you see all those drug commercials during the commercials if those of you that still ridiculously watch mainstream media? Yeah, because they're being funded by them. So we as Americans are literally killing ourselves at a higher rate than the two most discussed topics that the mainstream media and the government tell us should be our biggest concerns. Do you not see an issue with that? And add to that the most commonly used and consequently the most damaging substance to your body. And you have an exact recipe for what we see happening today. This reads, mixing alcohol and antidepressants is generally not recommended for several reasons. The medications can worsen the effects of alcohol, while alcohol can worsen antidepressant side effects. You know, one of those being suicide. It goes on to say, in some cases, alcohol can actually trigger or worsen symptoms of depression for at-risk individuals, which would be anyone who's claiming they're depressed, so being given antidepressants. The point being that we have alcohol that everyone's using, that no one seems to care about, that's one of the most damaging substances you can put in your body, that in fact dramatically increases the risk of all the things we're concerned about, with a pill that in fact increases the risk of suicide for people who are already suicidal. And no one cares. And with all of this, no one can bother to address the very real connection to prescription drugs and their unchecked side effects. No one, of course, except the independent media, that is, which you know if you've been watching this channel. There are so many things we've gone over that should just disgust you. 2015, antidepressants may be worsening depression, not treating it. By the way, every single one of these is backed up just overwhelmingly with research and studies and respected physicians speaking out about this stuff. All in the show notes for you to dive through. 2015, study, 70% of people on antidepressants don't have depression. 2016, surprise, surprise, new study reveals antidepressants double the risk of suicide and violence in healthy adults. And of course, after this study, they stopped prescribing them and we turned a new leaf? Of course not. They sold more of them than ever the next year. Landmark study shows antidepressants no more effective than placebo. Now, obviously, studies can be manipulated. People can lie. Things can be altered, skewed for political purposes, just like anything else. But the information is there. The evidence is there. It's all right in front of you if you just cared to look at it. And I know a lot of you that watch this show do. But a lot of people out there have no idea. SSRI antidepressants, SSRI, the type of drug we're talking about here. I'm blanking on the, I know you guys most probably know it's serotonin something, I'm blanking on it, but SSRI antidepressants increase risk of intracranial hemorrhage. Just add that to the list of things we're concerned about. New study finds antidepressants to be largely ineffective and potentially dangerous. We're up to 2018 now. Big Pharma paid millions in secret settlements after antidepressants linked to mass murder. See, now this is when people are starting to wake up. People are starting to go, wait a minute, there's obviously a tie here, and instead of doing something about it, they just paid them off. Here, sign your non-disclosure agreement. Here's your millions of dollars. Go about your day. And guess what? 2018-19, and still, now we're selling more than ever. Who cares that there's obvious links to mass murder? Who cares that it causes suicide in people who are already suicidal? Who cares about any of this stuff? We're just trying to make a profit. Remove the regulations. We don't care. This is where we are today. And the same people that are allowing this to happen, whether they're doing it or simply looking the other way, are the same ones standing up and pretending to be upset about people who are dying, who stand up and pretend that they're here for you, that they're here fighting for your rights and your freedom while they do everything to take those things away from you. This is an article that I've talked about many times before. And obviously the main focal point of this article is about opioids. From years ago. I revamped this and put it back out in 2016. I wrote about this a long time ago. Well before even Clinton had the nerve to call it a silent epidemic, as it was murdering tens of thousands of people a year. That's when they were just trying to pretend they were coming around to it while they kept trying to ignore it. But here's the point of this. Interesting, same kind of data, but here's what's interesting. Now, this is the part that I've talked about many times. And again, this is just data that I put on the website from before 2016. So I can promise you that this is dramatically higher based on every other statistic we have. And this is in 2015. We'll start at the bulk. All said and done, the grand total, 36,472,663 people are on psychiatric drugs in this country. This is in 2015. And this is where it gets really upsetting for people that don't know any better. All psychiatric drugs. Between the years of 0 and 5 years old, there are over 1 million, and this is 2015, children. Not even teens yet, children on psychiatric drugs, which include ADHD medication, antidepressants, antipsychotics, anti-anxiety medication. Why would any of those be prescribed to a toddler? For the benefit of the parent, I would assume. And yet 1 million kids. I mean, and this gets worse when you go a little further down the trail. Look at this. Let's look at the teen area. Area 3, 13 to 17, same category. 3,617 teens, 17 below, on psychiatric drugs. I mean, this is disgusting. Actually, I take that back. I read that incorrectly. That was just anti-anxiety at the bottom. We're looking at all psychiatric drugs, 78,694,222 in this country on psychiatric drugs in 2015. Just imagine what that's like today. Hundreds of millions of people on drugs with side effects they don't even understand while taking other drugs that have side effects that cause new side effects that they still don't understand. And then, of course, when you go to the doctor and say, hey, I have a side effect from this, they go, here's another pill that will stop that side effect that then causes more side effects, and then you go back and get another pill. That is the design. 78 million. But here's the point. Antidepressants. 0 to 5. Because we know a lot of toddlers that are depressed. Over 100,000 children in this country in 2015, under the year of 5, had antidepressants prescribed. Now jump ahead down the scale here to 18 to 24. Hey, let's just say 13 to 24. We're looking at easily almost 4 million teens on antidepressants, 4 million in 2015, that all have the possible side effect of suicidal thoughts, which, by the way, is very easy to show. They'll keep it way down on the list. They'll keep it way back on the website. But if you really do your research, every single one of them literally list suicidal thoughts as a side effect to something that's supposed to stop you from feeling depressed. It's unbelievable to me. This is an article I put out a while back about after the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting. And of course, there's a great part in this from Matt Agarist that talks about the mass shooting idea with medications. As he says here, an important aspect that never gets enough attention in these situations, and for many well-documented reasons, not least of which is that the vast majority of politicians are in bed with the pharmaceutical companies, as I just said, is the very clear connection that medications have to these events and the obvious correlation between those who carry out these horrendous acts and the amount of medications they are on. So not just that they're taking them and when they are prescribed, but how many. As he points out, Las Vegas shooting suspect Stephen Paddock was prescribed the anti-anxiety drug diazepam in June, a few months before he's accused of opening fire in his bedroom. The side effects from diazepam include confusion, hallucinations, unusual thoughts or behavior, unusual risk-taking behavior, decreased inhibitions, no fear of danger, depressed mood, thoughts of suicide or hurting yourself, and hyperactivity, agitation, aggression, hostility. Sure, because that's what you want to give to somebody who is overwhelmed with anxiety. Recognize that even this has suicide or hurting yourself. Why would you prescribe that to somebody? This is anti-anxiety. Let's dance back here real quick. Anti-anxiety medications are right here at the bottom. Anti-anxiety. They have suicidal thoughts in this one too. Here, look right here. 18 to 24. 1,660,000 children. And of course, under the age of 5 at the top there, almost 700,000 kids on anti-anxiety drugs. Guess what that does to a developing brain? Ruins it. As they're even their own information will show, but they don't care about that. The Aurora shooter suspect, James Holmes, killed 12 people and injured 70 when he fired inside of a movie theater. He was also found to have been taking the antidepressant sertraline. Zoloft. That's the generic version. It has side effects that include aggressive reaction, mood behavior changes, and fast talking and excited feelings or actions that are out of control. Gavin Long, veteran who went on a shooting rampage in Baton Rouge, was prescribed Lunesta and Ativan, both of which have extended lists of adverse effects. Both have overlapping side effects of aggression, agitation, changes in behavior, hallucinations, suicidal thoughts, and homicidal ideation. I mean, this is unbelievable that these things are prescribed, and we can clearly see the effects playing out, but yet they want you to think it's social media. The internet is dangerous, not the drugs. I mean, I could go on, and this is all in here for you to look. You can read all of this for yourself. I just really hope that the message is getting across to people that recognize this, that maybe want to question the things that we're talking about here. With all this information, I find it absolutely impossible to not, at the very least, to not talk about it. You can question everything like I always advise. But the fact that they're not even using it in this discussion when they're talking about death amongst our youth should be a huge red flag. With all of this stuff, why is nobody doing anything about it? That's something that should really make you, I mean, ask yourself that question. That somebody somewhere within positions of power have to have seen this very obvious connection. Why are they not doing anything about it? Or rather, why are we not doing anything about it? Why is the individual not doing something about it? We've seen this. We've talked about it. Why have we not stood? Why have we not demanded that nothing will move until they stop this? It's a good question. But something we have to consider is something, I actually forget the name of the study. But in New York City, they did a study about the fact that there's actually a name for this exact kind of, I think they even called it a syndrome or something like that, where this is a real case where there was a dead body laying in an alley in New York City, right alongside a main street. Everybody could see it. It was plainly clear from the street. You could see the dead body. Everybody kept walking by. The body laid there for weeks. No one did anything about it until finally, somebody, a police officer, somebody caught wind of it and said, wow, this has been here for a week. Come to find out that everybody was walking by and they were thinking, well, you know, somebody, this is, I can see it. Somebody must have called police because I'm in a hurry. Everybody else can see it. Somebody must be doing something about this, but I got things I'm doing. Instead of caring, instead of taking a moment to do what you know needs to be done, you immediately assume, well, somebody else must be taking care of it. That is what they want from you. That is the engineered mindset that you don't need to do anything because isn't there an authority figure that's supposed to be taking care of this for me? This is what they want you to be thinking. That we're just going to continue to pass by a human being. Because, well, that's not my responsibility. And even the ones that do care. Just think that, well, we can all see the correlation between these drugs. There must be some kind of movement going on. Somebody must have been speaking out. And yeah, there are some of us doing it like this right now. But the reality is that everyone that has that thought and says, well, somebody must be doing something, stop yourself and go out and do something. Just go out and tell your friends. Show them what's happening. Recognize that people are dying all around you while they're telling you, don't worry about that. Just look the other way. Here, take some antidepressants. While everything falls apart around us. I mean, we all tell ourselves that somebody else must be taking care of it while the world falls apart. While they continue to tell us, don't worry, we got it. Don't worry, we'll make you more safe. We'll take away some of your rights, but we'll increase our control. Don't worry. As the same things continue to get worse. That's the other problem that people think, well, the government's going to help, right? People that actually believe the government's going to step up and solve the problem that they created. When has that ever happened? What they're going to do is continue to ignore it until we force their hand, or rather force them to at least acknowledge it and then grasp movements of people who actually care actually solve the problem with a little bit of funding from the U.S. because they have to now that they're caught. This is how it always operates. People have been convinced in this world today that their voice does not make a difference. That all you can do is go participate in your democracy. Make sure you vote harder next year. Because just you as yourself, you're not going to change anything. But collectively, in the voting box, you can change the world. That is the biggest deception of all time in this country. That in fact, the real way that we've ever changed anything is by circumventing the voting box and taking action ourselves. It's the only thing that's ever really changed anything in this country, especially when you recognize that our power to actually vote and change something, if was ever really there, is clearly no longer present. So what we need to do is use our voice. Recognize that your voice does make a difference, and you right now are making a difference by doing what you're doing, by being here in this chat, by speaking out about what we recognize is wrong in this world, despite their threats, despite their aggressive ways they suppress us and censor everything that we're doing. We are making a difference every single day. And I'll tell you right now that this just got damn personal for me. And I'm going to make sure that we never, ever let this die. I love you all for being here today. Please get this information out there and wake people up to what's going on. Because it is damn close that they are just completely running over the top of us unless we wake enough people up to change something. I love you all. Please, as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Now, I know that standards have slipped over the last few years in Washington, but for a lawyer, you're remarkably cavalier with any idea of justice.